Shut up and sit down.
Our weekly hockey podcast with Brian Metzer of the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, Tim Benz, along with Metz, who you can hear during intermissions, post-game, as well as Pens Live Weekly Saturday with Paul Steigerwald on 105.9 The X. Metz joins us every week to talk about the Pens and all things NHL. Metz, good to catch up with you again.
Always good to catch up with you, my friend. How are you doing?
Excellent. Looking forward to the return of Matt Murray to PPG Paints Arena tonight. It certainly looks like he's going to get the start for the Maple Leafs against the Penguins. It's kind of odd, isn't it, that once he went to the Senators, that it's taken this long for him to play a game at PPG Paints. He's played against the Penguins once before, played well against the Penguins once before, but that was in Ottawa. Now a member of the Leafs, he still hasn't played a road game here in Pittsburgh due to the pandemic, due to injury, due to the fact that the Maple Leafs stink and they'd never be in the playoffs, or the Senators stink and they'd never be in the playoffs to play against the Penguins. But for a myriad of reasons, he's never been here in Pittsburgh as an opposing goaltender. But it looks like tonight that streak will finally be snapped.
Yeah, you're right about that. And what's interesting about the Murray situation is, if you recall, he traveled to Pittsburgh, was slated to play against Pittsburgh, and was not a last-minute scratch, but was like a morning of scratch for his first game back last season. And they did a recognition of his return, but he was in the press box. And it was a post-pandemic, non-COVID-related illness, if you recall. He wasn't COVID sick, but he was sick. But he was able to be around every person in the press box and glad hand and hug Penguin staffers and get a welcome back, and they put a video up. So, well, they still give him a video, Tim, even though they already ran one last season.
Yeah, I don't think there's been too many highlights post-Penguins attached to that. I don't know what they do. I mean, they tend to recognize guys even if they've done it before during that first TV timeout, right?
Oh, yeah. And I assume being on the ice, he will get that recognition. And it is hard to believe he hasn't really faced him in Pittsburgh since he left, because it feels like he's been gone for so long now. And the poor kid has just had the worst luck. I wonder if he was possessed by the ghost of Bo Bennett, because ever since he's been gone, and truth be told, even towards the end of his Penguins tenure, you know, he hoisted the second cup. And from then on, he's had his ups and downs, not only with performance, but with his body, with his mind, with his health. And going out in his first game as a Toronto Maple Leaf could not have sat well with the local natives up there. They couldn't have been pleased. So I hope for his sake that he comes in and has a pretty good showing and gets his career back on track with the folks that he was so comfortable joining in Toronto.
Yeah, because they knew this was a potential issue with Murray. I mean, you get Murray, you get injuries, right?
Yeah, and I think that is what went into the thinking of bringing in Ilya Samsonov as well, because people were kind of shocked that the Maple Leafs acquired both of those players during the offseason. But then you see Samsonov go on the shelf, and they had to go with Shalgren, who the Penguins just played the other night when the two teams met, who has been their de facto number three, number four goaltender for the past handful of seasons, and that guy has done a decent job for them. But you have a lot of eggs in the Murray and Samsonov basket right now, and to not have both available it's not working very well. It wasn't a really good look for that front office. And to the point you just made, when you bring in Matt Murray and make it like he's going to be this, you know, big, you know, entering superstar in net for you, they thought they could reharness his career and get him back to playing at the Stanley Cup level, and to have him make it through one game and then have that mystery ailment pop up the next day and a skate, and then he was out for 4 weeks. I mean, it's just been really a very dubious start in Toronto. And again, just for his sake, I hope it works out now as he moves forward. We'll have it start after this evening, though. Let the Penguins get back on track a little bit more against him, and then he can ride off into the sunset happy.
Yeah, there's a lot to be digested there as it relates to the Penguins, and we'll do that. The last thing on Murray, though, I wanted to bring up was the four goals he allowed in the one game that he did play. Weren't they all glove high side too?
Pretty close. Yeah. If I recall,
the same complaint everybody's had about Murray, which I always thought was a little bit misplaced because I don't think he had a slow glove. The positioning of his glove just never felt comfortable, confident, or consistent. Like, he was not a very clean catcher of the puck.
Yeah.
It's almost like he had two blockers at times.
You're right about that. And I think you know, it's a shame that it became a weak spot for him where people just thought you could beat him on the glove. And I'm wondering, one thing we've seen, if just to put the focus with the two goaltenders who are here quickly, it seems like the difference between Jari's glove hand and Casey DeSmith's glove hand right now is that DeSmith tends to play out a little higher in his crease, and Jari plays back a little bit on occasion, which makes it tougher for him to cut that angle with the glove. And I wonder if Matt Murray, who, you know, had the same coaching for a lot of years as Jari had, it was coached to stay back a little bit, because it seemed like there was a definite transition where Murray went from being, you know, when by the time the Penguins beat the Predators, he looked near unbeatable. I mean, he had back-to-back shutouts to clinch that Stanley Cup and looked pretty darn good in doing so. And then from then on, he got to the point where he couldn't make a save with the glove. He was getting beat there a lot. And then I think everything just kind of fell apart. So I'm wondering if you could find a way to break the coaching that he's had and have him play out further on his crease, if that would work for him, because it seems like he's easily, they're a lot easier to beat in that area. And I've seen Jari give up some goals that same way this season.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Let's get to Jari and his health. There seems to be a Najee Harris thing going on here, Mets. How hurt is he? Why is the coach saying one thing and the player saying something else?
Well, we had this debate the other night, Tim, in the postgame show, because first we saw Josh Yoey from The Athletic tweet a quote before we heard the audio. And he said, Tristan Jari said he's been dealing with some health issues that have impacted his game. When Jari first says that comment or makes that comment in his postgame, he goes, I've been dealing with some issues that have impacted my game. And then later it seems like it's clarified a little bit and they get it more on the health side. But is there something else going on? It's a big mystery now. I hate whenever we have these mysteries, because as you said,
it was straightforward. I went back and listened to the audio. It was straightforward. I mean, the question physically, you know, that word was used, and both said yes. You know, like physically is what Jari said. And then when Sullivan was asked about his physical ailments, is there anything going on? He said no. So everybody seemed to be talking about the same thing. There was no confusion there.
It's just weird, you know, and I think maybe I'm going down the path of somebody interpreted it a certain way and put a tweet out, which had everybody thinking one thing, and then there's something else. So it is definitely a mystery. He hasn't looked like himself. He started the season like gangbusters. I mean, he was outstanding early on when the Penguins won those three games on home ice and put up six goals. I think that he was a big part of why they were able to do that. And then suddenly, maybe a quarter way to a halfway through that losing streak, he didn't look like the same guy anymore. He was giving up some bad goals, and particularly in the Seattle Kraken game, I was not very impressed with two of the three goals he allowed. And then they went right to Casey, who played two pretty solid games. So I'll be curious to see what they do getting ready for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, what kind of news we get. I'm sure Jari will be dressed for the game. It's just a matter of, do they go right back to Casey, which I kind of anticipate they will, and then let Jari have a little bit more time to work through whatever he's working through. But I know you're spot on when you say Sully said he was fine, because he did. He was pretty adamant about it too. And it was Tomlin-esque with a Najee thing. And maybe Jari has a steel plate somewhere. And, you know,
I was
under
just
his...
about to say, maybe he gets stepped on in practice, which sounds a lot more dangerous in hockey than it does football.
Yes. We've seen just that happen with poor Evander Kane, right? He took the slash.
Yeah,
he took the slash across the wrist, and he's going to be out for a significant time. I mean, very subtle. If you get stepped on, that's not good. So we'll see. I feel like this is going to be an elephant in the room for them. There's going to be questions. Well, I hope people ask the questions, put it that way, because we've seen the same thing with Teddy Bluger now, where it appeared that he was ready to play for 2 or 3 weeks, and he just never gets back into the lineup, and no one will ask, is he still dealing with something? Did he have a concussion? What's going on? They went out of their way to show footage of him skating all like against the wind the other night in the game against Montreal. They were showing highlights of him skating in practice and looking pretty good in doing so, yet he's still not made his return to the lineup. So there's a couple mysterious ailments floating around right now.
And it's not like Jari hasn't had a willingness to play through pain before. I mean, he did in game 7 last year.
He walked in with a bucket of ice on his foot, essentially, whenever he went for his post-game presser, and was willing to give that a go. And by rights, if they would have won and advanced, I'm sure he would have continued to do that into the next round. So you're right. He has proven to be able to do that. He's a pretty low key, laid back guy. He doesn't seem to let much bother him. I mean, I used to call him peaceful, easy feeling, like the Eagles song, because he always seemed like that to me. And for whatever reason right now, there's something amiss.
Meanwhile, with the Smith, this is a guy who seems to play well in spurts, but the longer he plays, the more volume that he plays, the more likely he is to get injured. So that has to be a concern too.
Yeah, they've both been injury prone goaltenders, and that's kind of a concern for them going into this season, because just as the Maple Leafs put their, you know, their eggs in the Murray basket, and even Samsonov, who's had a couple injuries over the last couple years, you saw the Penguins say, okay, we're bringing both of these guys, or keeping both of these guys. We're going to re-sign Casey DeSmith. We're going to keep him around. We'll have Tristan Jarry, and we'll go from there. And to this point, at least in the early going, it's appearing that based on the last week, I mean, Casey's given them a little bit of a better opportunity to win games. Thankfully for them, he didn't go through the doldrum that he did last season during the early part of the year, where he was dealing with, you know, kind of wretched play of his own. He's got the better save percentage right now. He's got the better goals against average. He has come closest to potentially posting shutouts up to this point and giving them a chance to win games. But I'm with you. I have a little bit of a concern level, because beyond these two guys, you have some players that can play, you know, they've played NHL games from time to time, but there's nobody that is going to keep the Penguins afloat if they go down, because they are kind of back into the mode of not necessarily having a true number three in the organization. Louis Domingue kind of filled that role last year, but I don't know that they have that right now. So you are hoping Casey doesn't break down or Jarry doesn't break down for an extended stretch. But I think for right now, they're able to ride that Casey DeSmith wave, and hopefully they did what they needed to do in rehab to keep that lower body and core in good shape, because that's back-to-back years essentially for Casey, where it was a core muscle into the lower body and upper legs that he's had those injuries.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Aside from the goaltending, Mets, how did you view that first game against the Leafs, and how do you see it going tonight?
I was pretty impressed with the way the Penguins played the Leafs that night. Mainly the way they ended that game. They gave just four shots in the third period, which was very impressive. And they did a similar thing against Washington to close those games out. It was Penguins-esque in the way that they closed it out compared to maybe the Cup years or even right after that. They used to really just forecheck the heck out of teams. They wouldn't allow them much zone time. Anytime the Maple Leafs tried to get into the zone to try and get that game equalized, they just worked the puck around the boards and up out of the zone, and they cleared it very well. And I felt that they played one of their best offensive hockey games in a long time. So, and that was coming off of the Washington game, in which, if I'm not mistaken, is the one where they allowed only 25 shots, which was a season low watermark for them. So they looked like they had put a focus back on being a little bit more smart. But then, unfortunately, you get into the next game against the Montreal Canadiens, and they were back to double-digit giveaways in the game. They made a lot of bad mistakes with the puck. They were starting to get into this fire wagon, throw the puck around the zone like crazy people. They ended up finding a way to get into this situation where they're giving up goals just very shortly after an event too, which, yeah, if you recall last year, it was six or seven games, or it was probably a 10 game span where maybe six or seven times they had that happen to them, where they gave up a goal less than a minute after either a review, the beginning of a period, an equalizing or go ahead goal. I mean, in the Montreal game, Tim, they gave up a goal 50 seconds after they took a lead and then 40 seconds after they took a lead, which was just ridiculous. One of which also came, the goals in that game right at the beginning of the third period, which is the one that was reviewed. Sullivan actually lost a coach's challenge for the first time since the eighth grade picnic, to quote the Hall of Famer Mike Lang. So I like the Toronto game. I like the way they played D. I like the way that they scored. But then from there, it kind of went downhill. I don't know if they got a false sense of confidence again against Montreal, but for whatever reason, the young upstart Canadians two times this year have come back on them and kind of embarrassed them, if you ask me.
The blue line, how are you feeling about that?
A little better than I was. I think that the shuffled pairings seem to have helped a lot of people, and even the injuries that they sustained seem to help Ryan Dumoulin, because in the game where they were down to essentially 3D and Jeff Carter, he played over 20 minutes. He wasn't exposed. I thought he did a really good job with that. And for whatever reason, this team thrives on that kind of adversity, which is kind of strange. But I was impressed with the way they did play in those two wins. I thought that the changes worked for them. And I feel like still when they have a game like Montreal, it still gets back to taking too many penalties, even though the PK wasn't terrible. They've kind of cleaned that up a little bit over the last week. It's still a problem, and they are taking too many penalties, which puts their defense in a very vulnerable position. But generally speaking, I like the turnaround where they are right now compared to where they were the last time we spoke.
Mets, as always, thanks. We'll listen to you during intermissions and post-game and on Pens Live Weekly with Steige on Saturdays. What is your Saturday schedule? Do you have a show each of the next couple Saturdays? Are you taking one off for Thanksgiving? What's the story there?
I don't believe they will give us one off for Thanksgiving because of the fact that the games don't stop, Tim. We have Wednesday and Friday with Thanksgiving shoved right there in the middle, so we'll have a week to recap. The only time I do recall us getting a game off is usually around Christmas, New Year's. They might give us the one in between those off.
Yeah, that's, let's see. Well, Christmas this year, of course, is on
Sunday. The weekend. So we and might get 2 weeks off.
As we all know, the Steelers are playing the Raiders on Christmas Eve, which, by the way, is one of the dumbest NFL decisions of all time. Have I ranted about this with you yet?
You have not, but I mean, who's not riveted by that matchup?
It's, well, not just the matchup. I mean, I get it. I get the whole immaculate reception thing. It's a way to get Steelers Raiders in prime time. I get it. But they are, I believe, next year putting a game on Friday. They've long talked about putting games on Fridays after the high school football season ends. They've got the 23rd of December on a Friday, which is the actual day. But they didn't put it on a Friday. Instead, they shoehorn it in on Christmas Eve on a Saturday. What the hell are they doing? I mean, this is the most obvious time ever to experiment with a Friday game. Go ahead and do it.
Are you not getting jazzed for a point in time, Tim, in the future where there is a huge Wednesday night football matchup and then a huge Thursday night and then a huge Friday night? Yeah. I mean, that's what I think they're going to get to. I think they're going to get to that point.
I'm dying to see another let's bump Oprah for Steelers Ravens contest like we saw during COVID.
Yeah, the happy hour football in the midweek really was fun. That was a blast. There was something going on at my mother's with her cable, and I remember I went over to help her, and I couldn't even watch. I'm there because the cable was broken. So I'm following the Steelers game on a weekday afternoon. That was crazy. But yeah, I think that they're going to get to that point where 24/7 NFL games. If it's not live, it's replayed action from the day before, and the week is just filled with it.
Yeah, in Munich, Stockholm,
Belgium, all hours of the day. 9:30 in the morning will be followed by another game at 12:30. Then you have your afternoons, your evening, and then just for your night owls, you know, we'll get a night owl club for the Steelers now. They already have it for their post game whenever the 8 p.m. game goes long, and they're doing post game into the wee hours. Why not just put a game at like 1 a.m.
And no matter how many games they play, they'll still never figure out what's a legal tackle. All right, Mets, I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Take care, my friend.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network.